Hick session number 10423, rule 3.
Mr. Norman Harland, Reel 3.
It was a rough journey.
It was a very rough journey, yes.
And the rest of the men suffered?
Well, I never saw very many of them. They were, I don't know where they were, but I was sitting on the lounge, on like I said, AF, and watching this McConaughey tin run back and forwards, like, and I fell asleep anyway.
And then you arrived in Cherbourg.
What a dump. Well, yes, we were out at Cherbourg, and there was these little trawlers or fishing boats was tooting away and waving to us, and bloody hell, what a dump. Anyway, we got there.
Just before we go on from there, can I just take you back a little way? When you heard that you were going overseas, what was your immediate reaction to that?
Oh, I was over the moon. I wanted to get away.
And were the other chaps the same?
They're all the same. Everybody wanted to get away. Everyone.
They were just pleased to go.
Yes, they wanted to get across the water. There's no doubt about that. They did.
Right, we got to Cherbourg, and you're getting off the boat.
Well, we got off the boat and went onto a big, like a railway siding, where we were given soup. It was burnt. But there was tea there. That wasn't burnt. That wasn't too bad. And we stayed there for a long time. Till the train came in, one of those big, ugly-looking French trains. I've never seen one like it before in my life. Anyway, are you asking a question still?
Well, I was going to ask you, were there any French civilians around?
No. None.
And you weren't allowed off the docks?
Well, nobody left the docks. No, we wouldn't know which way to go anyway.
All right, so what about your train journey? You got on your train?
The train journey, it was very warm. As a matter of fact, I had a bar of chocolate in my trouser pocket, and it being that warm, it had melted. It got off the people of Honiton, by the way. So anyway, that was that. It was very warm in the train, oh, very, very, very warm, yes, sir.
What kind of accommodation were you in the train? What did you have?
Just an ordinary, it was a corridor train, you know. You go up and down it, like, but it wasn't 20 car high class.
You didn't have one of these First World War...
Oh, no.
Eight horses and 40 men.
Not yet. Well, we do get them eventually, of course.
And your train journey took you to where?
La Houte. Mm-hmm. I think it was a train called La Houte. Is it La Houte? Hutte.
That's right.
Isn't it?
That's right.
And from there, we march to our billets. And I said, it's bloody hell, isn't that old billets? It was supposed to be an old post office. Now, the carrier men and the MTA were further up the road. It was just ordinary mud road, you know. The carriers and the wagons was up the road, and we had to get in this hut. And it was bloody, in this house, it was bloody awful. I've never seen nothing like it. That was the worst, even in prison of war camp, that was the worst accommodation I had ever been in.
In what ways was it bad?
Well, in the first place, there was an old woman there. She used to come running through the billets when men were getting ready to go out. And she used to get chased a lot, not like. But there were no taps. They took all the, you know, the pumps. They took all the pump handles off. The only water we had was the big well just outside the gate. And if you remember right, at the beginning of the war, there wasn't jerry cans. It was just ordinary tin cans. And they were dropping them down white. And eventually, the bloody well was full of cans. Wasn't a very good billet. Well, there a long time and all, too long. I didn't like it.
And what were you sleeping on?
What, feeding?
What were you sleeping on?
Sleeping.
Just
straw. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Just straw. We all slept together, by the way.
How many men?
Well, I don't know. Our room was full. I woke up one morning and the snort come through the door and it covered my arm. But we brought the rules there, by the way. We shouldn't have done that.
So what about sanitation?
Well, sanitation, well, there was a toilet upstairs, yes, by God. It wasn't very nice at all. I didn't like it. We were delayed there because of the snow on the road, you see. And most of our time was spent just outside the church doing pogie drill.
What's pogie drill?
Well, pogie drill is a drill where you have a long stick with a ring at one end and a cloth thing on the other, and you turn, you have your back to them, and the NCO would poke you in the back, and you turn around and you put the ring down where he wanted to hit. That's what we call a pogie drill.
Hit it with what?
Your bayonet.
Bayonet training,
that's what it was, right. The next one was, we had another one where we formed a big circle and we asked to send a message. I go right round all the lot and come back. But it wasn't the same message. Never the same.
Did you have any gas preparation and training?
We always did gas training. We did a lot of gas training.
And that, was this with tear gas?
We didn't use any real gas there. Chloropicrin was the gas. We had that glass. We did... Chloropicrin was the name of the gas. Clear gas. But we carried those gas masks all over and the gas capes. And, everything was... seemed to be a waste of time, but never mind. They were there if I needed them.
So you spent your time in La Hoot doing training outside the
Not
church,
La Hoot,
anyway.
At Saint
Sorry,
Remy
the place
Duplan,
you marched to.
Saint Remy du Plan. That was I went to.
Remy...
Saint Remy du Plan, or Plain, or it is.
And it was there that you were in this billet, and...
it was there, wasn't it? Oh, yes.
And whilst the snow was on the ground, and it presumably were held up...
We couldn't get away, no.
You were training.
Yes. Eventually, we did. We did get away. I won't tell you...
Was the whole of the battalion at this place?
No. A company was further down in another village, and they had drunk some water, and they must have had a bit of a jippo guts, a lot of them. They were poorly. But they were all over... the battalion, the companies. A new air company was further down than us.
How did the French receive you?
The French were a load of crap. There. They're all over.
They didn't receive you very well.
They did. As a matter of fact, I was on the impression that we were Germans. I thought we would come to fight then, not to fight for them. Anywhere we moved.
In what ways did they show this? What kind of things
oh,
did they
that
do?
Was nasty. As a matter of fact, one of the guys went out to seek some wood for the fire, you see, and he was challenged with a bloody shotgun. They were nasty people. Not all the French. This particular place. Mind, when you think back and you think how they suffered in the Great War, you can maybe understand how they felt that they were going to start again. So
they didn't ask you into their homes?
No.
Or about selling you additional items of food, like eggs or that kind of thing? Did they do that? Did the farmers sell you things?
No. There was a restaurant not very far from the billet where you get coffee au lait, coffee and cream, and pomme de terre frites and things like that, you know. And they were cheap. It was only a few, half a franc. I mean, 80 francs to the pound in them days, you know.
What was your own army food like then at this stage?
Well, the army food in St. Remy wasn't too bad. I think it wasn't too bad in St. Remy, but there wasn't plenty, but it wasn't too bad. A lot of Scotch eggs.
How long were you in St. Remy?
In St. Remy, it would be in there about 4 weeks. That was too bloody long. And then we moved to Longley.
Was this marching?
No, I think it was too far away to march. And it was there that Martel, the General Martel, had instructed us, or the officers, that we would become the brigade, a mobile unit. And most of our training was to be debussing and bussing.
Can you describe what debussing
Well,
is?
To bust, you get on board. To debust, you get off.
And how did you get on board? Were you lying?
Oh,
up
it was spot on. It was spot on. Everything was spot on, yes. It wasn't buses, you know. No. It was. There was. We did that many times. The last two men locked up, you see. And every. We kept them two men all the time.
And they pulled the. Locking up, do you mean
yes,
pull the tail board up?
Pulled the tail end up and put the stake in.
And how many was there to a truck?
I would say about 20, 24.
Full equipment?
Full kit, oh yes.
And the other is the reverse, getting off.
Getting off was simply, the two men would jump off, let the boards down, and we would jump off and form up on the road.
Any idea how long it took you?
Well, I don't know, but it was just seconds. I mean, in the beginning it was minutes, but in the end, doing all right.
So that when you went to this, what did they call the next place?
Longley.
Longley.
It was a brief stop.
You started mobile training.
That's where we got to know what most of the training like that was at Wassey. That's O-I-S-E. It's on the River Wassey, actually. And we did a lot of training there. It was a broken down old place.
And did your mobile training, other than obviously training to get on and off quickly, you would go out with the trucks?
Well, yes.
And what kind of training did that?
Well, that training, on one occasion, I was sent out to wave the trucks the proper way. Now, if you remember, there was a fifth columnist running about that time. And this bloody PU pulled up and said, which way are you waving the trucks? I says, I'm waving them that way. So they should be going that way. I says, they're going that way. And they don't know much more about it. They've been trying us out, you see. Officer.
So you drive a distance in the trucks into some kind of action situation, training situation, of course. What kind of training did that entail?
Well, as soon as you get out of the truck, you take out up your position as if you... And then the truck would pull away. And when you were finished, he would come back and you'd get aboard again, you see. And that was away. You were like a mobile unit. You didn't work that way, really, but that's what you're supposed to be.
So that, you started that training at, I forget the name again.
Wassey.
Wassey, right. That's where did you go from there?
From there, we went to our last stop, Gondy Court.
Was that a long journey?
Well, that was, I'd say about 8 mile. And it was 8 mile from Lille.
And was this trucks or did you march it?
We went by truck. We practiced most of the time, all that, you know.
And when you got to Gondicourt.
Gondicourt.
How long were you there?
We were there till we moved into Belgium.
And were the French any better?
The French were great.
You received far better.
In the restaurant, just opposite where we were billeted, an old, used to be a brewery, there was Suzette and Michelle. They were just kids, but they were pretty good. They were really first class. And my friend, Eddie Coombe, could speak a bit of French, and we got on well. And they were pretty good there.
And in what were your billets like?
The billets was right at the top. Have you seen these brews with a queer-shaped thing on the top? I was right on top, right up there. And we were on there, and they were pretty good.
So what are we sleeping on now? Are you still sleeping on straw?
No, we had palliasses there. We had, like, palliasses filled with straw, you know.
And the sanitation was better?
Yes, well, it was all right, but the whole battalion got a dose of the runs, and some of the bloody ladders coming down the rope. Only had one toilet for us, and I don't know what it was. Must have been the water. But anyway, we got over that. Like, we had that a few times, not before. The cookhouse was round the corner from us, from where we were going.
And did you eat in the cookhouse?
Well, there was a proper place to sit, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so.
And the French were
the French were better there, much better.
Were they inviting you into their homes?
Never.
You still kept they
still kept the distance from us. Oh, yes. Yeah, of course, the restaurant was where we were spending money. It didn't matter there, like.
You were saying something about Fifth Column. Were you warned about Fifth
Column?
Well,
yes, we were told there was a Fifth Column. I mean, we were even warned about there was a mother and daughter in a little, used to sell snapshot and things. And we were told there were Fifth Columnists. But I'll come to that later on about the Fifth Column. But we were warned about lights flashing at night time. I quite believe it. I quite believe it. I do.
Were the men finding it at all difficult? Had their views on being abroad changed?
No, the men was enjoying it. Oh, yes. I don't know. Nearly all of our platoon was footballers. And he's in boxers. They were all athletes, you know.
And was there plenty of opportunity for recreation now? That you
Well, the men, the boxers used to go to Brigade HQ. As a matter of fact, they were at Brigade HQ the day we were supposed to move into Belgium. Oh, yes, there was more radiation as fields.
And what about your stretcher bearing? Are you still under training at this time?
Oh, yes, but you never stop training with stretcher bearing. Always. But it's mostly on wounds and that, you know, and burns and that. Treatment of gas. And that.
How long were you at Gondecourt?
Well, I was at Gondecourt. We moved up, we left. The Northern Fusiliers moved in up to Brussels about the 14th. And I'm not sure we moved across the border on the 18th and went to Grumont.
And you were in Gondecourt until then?
Yes.
So we were there quite a while.
Oh, yes.
Did you get any opportunities for leave?
Well, Sammy Todd, he was still post-war. He did get leave. They will keep saying there was for the other channel. And he got leave even when they knew that they'd invaded the lowlands. And he was away when we went up to Belgium, but he came back. He joined us.
Did you get any kind of long passes just for possibly going to some nearby French
town?
We
went to Lille now and again. Went to Lille. ABC Street. The brothels is there. Pretty awful. Interesting, but bloody awful, I don't think.
An experience.
Well, it's an experience. I went in there one day and it was a 51st time division lad. We always wore gaiters then, you know, or putties. And he had his feet on this lovely plush seat. And the old madame came down and started playing hell and he just picked the chair and stuck it straight through the mirror. That was high division lad, eh? Though, queer blokes. They were good lads. Good soldiers.
Your food and meals in Gondecourt, were they any better?
They weren't too bad.
Did you supplement them by buying from the French?
Well, we used to always get a meal at night time. Coffee au lait and bomb the day across the road. Oh, yes.
What about the alcohol, the wine, did you...
You get room for next to nothing, and we didn't bother. I mean, some of the lads drunk, some of the scots, some of the jocks like the beer. That didn't bother me very much. I'm not a drinker, really.
What about the rest of the lads? Was there drunkenness prevalent in the?
No. Wasn't prevalent. No. But
you had no problems with food, though. The meals were there.
Not particularly.
At the
no, I had no problem with food. No.
You said. Sorry. Go ahead. Go on.
We knew that something was going to start because we knew there was a lot of aircraft action. But I'll leave that till later on.
You said there was only one toilet. What about washing and shaving and bathing?
Oh, we had a lot of taps and things to get washed in. I'm on about the toilet. But there was wash places and all. Oh, I had plenty of those. They'd been made for us, like, you know, been built down below.
Did you have any problems with lice?
With what?
Lice?
No.
It was pretty clean.
Well, we'll fumigate it down again, you know. And we'll fumigate it. regular. I mean, you had to be. Otherwise, you would sure pick things up.
At this time, did you have... did the discipline take in your appearance? Were they still pretty strict upon your appearance?
Oh, yes. Well, the appearance of a soldier then was... he had his putties on. He had his boots on. He was buttoned up to the neck, and his hat was on straight. Now, that's the way a DLI looked in them days.
And they were very strict about
this? Oh, they were. They were very strict about the hat.
Kit inspections, were they still going on?
Eh?
Kit inspections still
going on? Kit inspections going on all the time. I mean, it's one of those things where... I mean, if you're going to move away to Belgium, like, well, we're going to move up there, we had a kit inspection to make sure everybody had his full kit.
Your training was, you said, was very largely now on lorries, movement.
Yes, another part of the training was we had the airman sights, you know, where they would put your rifle on and sight it. We did a lot of that. It was very good that, you know, they'd come and the NCO in charge, when I could do it myself, like, sight on something, you had to come and then you would sight back onto it. And that was good.
Did you get any opportunities for firing off your weapons?
Yes, well, on one occasion, there was a place not very far up the road from Gonnicor where they put just anything up. It's just tin blocks, and the blocks were firing away. You know, and the NCO started swearing and cursing, he got wrong.
Were there any official ranges, though? Did
No.
you have to go out to official
No.
ranges at
I
all?
I think the nearest ranges are Boulogne.
What about duties within the area that you were based?
Well, I think each company did their own guards, because all the companies were spread around all over out of HQ, and we just did our own little bit pickets. There's no real quarter guards.
What did you guard?
Well, it wasn't a guard. It was just a matter of walking around your premises. I mean, and, you know, just to see that was somebody there.
There was no established points within the
area
that you
guard.
Had to go out to guard to.
You'll be told to give your eyes to a certain things, like if there's anything, like, you know, you got to keep an eye out. But there was no quarter guard. Not like later on we used to have quarter guards, rear guards.
Are there any stories that you've got about any incidents that were occurring?
Well,
at
I just
this
remember
time?
One there. I was sitting at this little restaurant, I think I was in the Glasgow room. And this convoy went past. Now, I don't know where the hell they were. Then all of a sudden somebody shouted out, "Is that Norman?" I says, "Who the hell's?" "Was somebody, a different regiment?" It seemed. I thought that was fantastic myself. Like.
I never found out who he was?
No, never. I've had a few twos like that.
There were no discipline problems at this time amongst the battalion.
It was strict.
But the men were taking it very well.
The men were taking it well, and we accepted the discipline. Our RSM was straight. Yeah. I'm coming to him later on, of course. Like then the next RSM, I'll tell you about him. There's amusing stories about him. But never mind, straight was a smart bloke. As a matter of fact, when I think I saluted him twice. Because if you remember right, the RSM used to wear Sam Brown and all, but they used to have the up to the neck. Same as the bandmaster. But Strayer was a pretty canny bloke, he wasn't too bad.
What were your relations like with the officers and NCOs at this time?
Oh, they were pretty good. I don't think they... Well... Fuck them all by the stretch of breath of the sea, but I don't think that's right, is it? they're all pretty nice, pretty canny. I knew a canny few. I'd been there quite a while, and they knew that things were going to go bang in a minute or two, and that they weren't too bad, really.
What about your relationships with the rest of the men? Was it good?
I was fed rather than yes.
And no problems at all?
Not a bit.
Was there any gambling and appearing at this time?
Well, they're out again, the card now and again, yes, I'll grant you that. Billy Straight and Sammy Tutt were both there now. They would play cards any time. But I didn't play cards.
Contacts with home. Were you writing home at this time?
Oh yes, I wrote to home regular. To me, my mum and dad divorced, by the way. I just wrote to my grandmother. I wrote them all, of course. But I was a good writer.
Were you told you had to be careful what you were writing?
Oh, well, it was censored. Everything was censored. I've had letters sent to me, and it was blacked out. I remember once getting a letter in Germany when I was a prisoner of war. From a lass called Linda, she married a German, and she wrote this letter to me, and the German must have let her go through, laughing, and it said, "Is that dear Norman? I'm getting a bit worried. I've heard that the Germans are running short of meat. That they're now cutting up the prisoners of war and eating them." And she married a German taxi driver.
Were you getting any parcels?
Oh yes, I got a lot of parcels.
And these would be from your family?
Yes, from my Aunt Meg and them, yes. So I got a lot of parcels, a lot of stuff, yes. I got a lot of stuff from down in Birmingham where I used to work. I know, you know, they got to know where I was and they kept sending us money and stuff.
Was there any promotion coming up at this time?
You what?
Any promotion?
I wanted no promotion. I said, I want to get through this war and I'm going to take care of me. But after the war finished, I went to the TA and then I started getting promotion then.
Did you ever have the opportunity of meeting Martel?
No, but I had the opportunity of meeting Montgomery.
Now that'll be another story, that one, I think.
It will be, eh? But it'll be a long time. It'll be in this.
No. Martel, of course, was your
Martel was
a divisional commander.
He was a tank expert, you see. Now, he left us, I think, he looked at me, I don't think he wanted to leave. And we had another bloke, English, Pat English, he got MC with three bars. You know Pat English?
I know of him, yes.
You know him, he's a character. Yes. No, Martel was a martinet. He had to have things done properly, which is right. But I never met him.
He was, I understand, quite
he
a boxer.
He was the brigade. He was in charge of the brigade.
He was keen on boxing.
No, I've never seen him box. Can you?
He had quite an experience. I think he was quite an experienced boxer in his younger days.
I never knew. I always knew about the boxing when it was at our place. We had a lad there called Titch Uriah. He used to sell newspapers in Durham. And he was boxing, and he got his arm over the neck of his opponent. And he let go, and when he let go, he went right into the table where all the cooks and the officers were sitting.
This was in France?
Yes, it's in France.